helps make it so worthwhile. Lord, let us always remember to be faithful with our finances toward your kingdom. Amen.
Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy. All creation cries, holy. You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We will sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, holy. All creation cries, holy. You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy. You will always be holy, holy forever. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy. All creation cries, holy. You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. All your people sing, holy. To the King of Kings, holy, you will always be holy, holy forever. You will always be holy. Holy forever.
Thank you, Glenna. And now the most precious time where we get to be family. I want to start by inviting you to share your prayer and praises, prayer requests and praises, and I'll start with me. I got two things I would like to ask you guys to pray for on behalf of our family. One is my single parenting skills for about a week while Sarah's on a trip. And second, for Claire, right now she has a persistent headache, gut ache, and throat ache. And we have a referral to an ENT, and we're starting a gluten elimination diet this week on top of single parenting. So again, pray for me again. And pray for Dawson, because he'll be watching them for a couple days and trying to keep her out of gluten while I start back to my classroom. So all of that, there's some needs for us this week to just kind of keep it together. And so when you think of us, please pray for those things. Anybody else? Judy. Okay. So prayers for Judy's brother-in-law who suffered, what's his name, Bob? Colin. Okay. Judy's brother-in-law, Colin, who suffered a cranial hemorrhage and was bleeding in the brain, is in ICU and being monitored. The good news is he wiggled his toes on command and that he's struggling for, they're struggling to keep his shunt clean so it can continue to drain and take the pressure. Okay, he hasn't come conscious yet since this. So, prayers for a miracle, really. Yeah, Ashton. Yay! So Ashton is praising God that his mom is getting better and better, only has one more round of chemo left, and her hair is coming back. Yeah, absolutely. So yay, thank you for sharing, Ashton. Carolyn. So prayer for your friend Colleen in Oklahoma, who has an undetermined back injury that is causing a lot of pain, and prayer that she can see a doctor rather quickly to get it addressed, diagnosed. Okay. Josh. What was that? Prayers for Helen Good. She's still not with us and still struggling with her sight. Absolutely. She has upcoming surgery. Is that on the second eye? Do you know? Okay. Okay. So she has a lens replacement surgery coming up on September 5th. So prayer for Helen. Dan. Yeah. So Dan is just lifting up the praise of having three grand kids with him this last week and that it's been a grand time. Yes, absolutely. Someday that'll be me. I'll be geriatric, but it'll be me. Debbie. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have some family friends that were taking their 20th year anniversary, and they took their whole family, and they had to escape the wildfires and come home as well. So continue to pray for Hawaii and the devastating wildfires that are going on. If I remember right, I think it's on Maui, I think, on the island of Maui. So, yeah. Wow, Brad's 50 already? Yeah, he's a little bit older than me. Yeah, that's awesome. I have a cousin turning 40. How old are you, Tony? I know, by a year, for 10 days. But anyway, 48 today. Oh, Jeff and Dan have the same birthday? I did not know. So happy birthday, Dan Hundley. Happy birthday, Jeff Marble. Yeah. God obviously continues to have a sense of humor. No, I mean that in jest. After all, I'm still here. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? I want to thank God for a little bit of insight on how to press the right series of three buttons on an old archaic CPAP machine. I was able to reprogram it to 5 millimeters pressure of water, and my mom now has a working CPAP again. So, and thank God for YouTube, because it was about 10 different YouTube videos till I finally found the right model and the right sequence of buttons, but we got there. Yeah. Yeah. YouTube can be a source of evil and a source of good. You know, so every new piece of technology that comes out needs to be embraced wisely and used wisely for the kingdom. And, you know, this was just one little thing. Anybody else? Yeah, it's nice to have Tony back. He's even been a pleasant house guest. Josh. So prayer for Josh and his sciatic and continuing pain with the sciatic nerve, and a productive appointment this Thursday with your doctor, right? Okay, so prayer for a good productive appointment for his sciatic nerve. Anybody else have that sciatic thing? Older people, raise your hand. Yeah, it's not pleasant. Yeah. We understand. We're with you, Josh. We love you, man. You'll get through it. Anybody else? All right, let's go together as a family before God. Almighty God, creator of the universe, of the very atoms that make us up. You are all powerful, and we can trust you with your power. You're all present, and we can know that you are always with us. And you're all knowing, so we know we can trust you. Thank you for being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to which all men must eventually bow. Let us keep our hearts humble before you, our hearts bowed before you. And we ask you to forgive us this last week when we missed anything that you put in our path that we should have stopped and done, or a person we could have talked to. And we ask for those divine appointments to continue to come, and that you give us the strength, the courage to meet them, and the trust that the Spirit will give us the right words to speak. Lord, as the school year starts up again, we pray for your protection over not just all the children here in this church body, but all the children across this nation. Put your angels over every classroom, every school, and put a hedge of protection over all of them. Protect them in their innocence. And protect the teachers, administrators, classified staff members, and those custodians that are the legs the whole building stands on as this year comes. Lord, we lift up illnesses. Lord, we ask that you work a miracle with Josh and his sciatic nerve. Lord, we ask for Helen's surgery coming up on the 5th, that her lens replacement restore sight, not just for her sake, but for the sake of others she loves to minister to. Lord, we just ask that that be a complete restoration of her sight. Lord, we continue to lift up many people who are grieving through losses of pets and of significant others and spouses and family members. Lord, those that are fighting cancer, God, we lift up Ashton's mom. And we thank you for so much that has come to pass in her healing. And we ask that you totally, completely heal her. Lord God, we just lift up Dan and Marie who aren't here. And we lift up Helen who can't be here. We lift up Carol Baker who cannot be here. Lord, we just ask that you look over everyone and watch over everyone who cannot be here in person. Bless them, keep them, make your face shine upon them as you do us. Thank you, God. And Lord, for spouses that are gone, give them traveling mercies. Bring them home safe to their family. And Lord, help little Claire. Help the doctors figure out what's going on and help me too. Give Sarah and I wisdom to know how to help her. Thank you, Lord. And finally, we lift up this nation before you, Lord. A nation that should be a shiny city on a hill. And yet, at moment, our light is flickering. Come, restore us. Revive this land, O Lord. Show your mercy. Strengthen the saints. And save the sinners. Amen. All right, kids. Come on up. Everybody wants to come on up. If you're shy, you don't have to. I think, isn't the song Into My Heart? Is that it today, I think? I remember.
Yeah, it is.
Do you guys know this one?
I don't remember it, but apparently I've sang it before.
Oh. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, He's in my heart. He's in my heart. He's in my heart forever. He's here today. He's here to stay. He's in my heart. watch over these little ones. They are the future of this house of worship, the future of your kingdom. We will pass. They will be here. So guide their very steps, their every thought, and their hearts. Protect those thoughts, protect their minds, and send your angels of mercy to make straight their paths right to your throne. For the days that we are here to guide them, and the days we will not, watch over every one of them with your great love. Amen. Unfortunately, guys, there's no children's church today, so we'll go sit back down. You can say, oh,
bummer.
There you go. You don't have to yell. You can say, oh, bummer.
But you mean why?
Go sit down.
Why no children's church?
There's not somebody available to do it right now. Say, oh, bummer.
Oh, bummer.
There you go.
At least grandma's here.
Way to use your words by saying, oh, bummer. Instead of yelling out.
At least grandma's
here. Shall we try it, Gene? Are we on? How about that? Okay. Had a very interesting experience this week as I was putting this sermon together. I tried to seek the Lord for how I was to start this sermon, and I didn't get anything. And so I just said, well, the best we can do is wing it. Well, leaving home gave me all kinds of ideas of how to start this off. We're grateful to be here. We were in stop-and-go traffic for almost 25 minutes from where 84 meets I-5 to where we get through the tunnel on the Sylvan Hill. The Portland Bridge pedal was this morning, and so everybody was trying to find alternative ways of getting through town, and so it turned out to be stop-and-go traffic. Like I said, we're glad to be here. We had an addition in our family this week. My sister at age 59 decided it's finally time to get married. And so she got married on Friday. I thought they only had quickie wedding chapels in Las Vegas, but apparently they have them in Los Angeles as well. So they both dressed up really nicely. They went to this quickie wedding chapel. They didn't want to go to all the expense, and many of you know just how expensive it can be to get married. Oh my. Anyway, so my sister is now married. She's been married for 2 whole days. And I don't want to say that sounds like a good record, but we're cheering for them. Last week, I mentioned that I was writing a book. And I kind of went overboard with the things that I'm passionate about when it comes to that few pages in my book. I will try to be shorter this week. My book is on spiritual life, developing a relationship with God, and actually having an interactive relationship with God, where we hear God's voice and we live according to the things that we hear. You know, honestly, it's important for you to hear the people that you're in a relationship, and it's important to hear what God has to say. You know, I can only pretend not to hear Glenna for so long before I get hit. And so the reality is that we need to hear the voice of God. And one of the greatest gifts that we get when we're entering into that relationship and we're hearing the voice of God is we hear His wisdom. This is His will. This is His goal of how He wants us to maneuver through life. It's amazing what happens when you hear the voice of God and you follow His directions. Things may not be easy, but they turn out. When we follow our own desires, that's when things collapse. Now, I mentioned this last week. This is one of the most important things for me when you start understanding the wisdom of God. It's Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, it reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, I never cheated in school. I never looked on other people's papers. But I did get the teacher's manual every once in a while, and I corrected my problems. I got the right answer. And it was always good to see when I did it right and when I did it wrong. When in our lives, to turn to God and hear His voice and seek Him. Now, there are numerous ways of doing that. First of all, I would say read your Bible. Your Bible is vitally important. The second is spend time in prayer listening to what God has to say. Now, there's a challenge in there. Because a lot of times when we pray, we have our to-do list. And we give our to-do list to God. He is like the grand concierge. You know, get us Broadway show tickets. Make sure my car is polished. You know, I'd like my shoes buffed. Life is good. But the reality here is that God gave us one mouth and two ears. And so we're supposed to listen more than we talk. Honestly, we need to begin to hear the voice of God. And we shouldn't be frustrated, concerned that we don't. We just need to start trying. You know, there's a lot of things that will come across our path that perhaps we will have our own ideas on how to resolve. For example, when I was at this little country church out around here somewhere several years ago, we were having a discussion with the board. And the board, they weren't exactly raising voices, but you can tell that tensions were getting high. And somebody, maybe it was Rhonda, maybe it was Judy, somebody brought this vegetable platter, and right in the middle of it had this ranch dip. And I think it may have been Bill Law who brought a bag of Oreos. Do you remember this? And as things were getting more and more intense, I decided, and I didn't think it was a bad idea, but it freaked everybody else out, I dipped my Oreos in the ranch dressing. The room went silent. There are things that Oreos do, and I believe in that particular case they brought peace. I don't necessarily think it was the will of God, but in my wisdom it worked. Now, when we start thinking about God's wisdom, we have to understand what wisdom is. Now, I've already mentioned that it's basically God's advice on how to live. It's God's will. But for human beings, wisdom is a lot like being a professional plumber or a professional electrician. You start in the journeyman phase and you slowly move up until you become an expert. A lot of times when we are seeking God, we start off just simply listening, trying to hear, trying to understand what it is God is trying to say. And over the course of our lives, we grow in Christ. And in that relationship, we begin to hear His voice more clearly. And it gives us guidance. It gives us understanding. And it actually is a lot of fun when you begin to see something that God said, this is going to happen. When you see it happen, it builds our faith. Now, as I was preparing for this chapter that I was writing, I wrestled with the concept of wisdom when I read this, and this is in John 15, verse 10. "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love." Now I thought to myself, keep my commandments. Okay, is that wisdom? Or is that just God being a sovereign bully? That's a question that a lot of people ask. They go through Scripture and they see God demanding this and God demanding that. And they have a very, very tough time seeing a loving God in the midst of Him saying, do what I say, you have no choice. Well, the reality is we do have a choice. But it's still, there's something going on here when we deal with wisdom and God says to keep my commands. There's something that we need to become aware of. Now, I'm going to save that punchline till the end. But the reality here is that God's wisdom is amazing. And when he says do something, we should do it. And it says it also in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's a measure of love. The previous verse we had, John 15:10, talked about, if you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love. Keeping his commandments is a condition of love. But the reality here is that we need to understand that there's more going on here. Let's see. Let's jump down to John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. All right, so I think from Scripture we get the we're listening to the voice of God thing, we're going to be obedient thing, but there's something else going on here. And I want this to be at a level of understanding that it begins to affect all of us. It has already affected me, and because it, I think it actually hit me over the head like a 2x4, just, you know, startled me into reality. Have you ever had one of those moments when you're reading Scripture, and perhaps you've read it for the 30th or the 40th time, and then all of a sudden you have that aha moment? When did this word show up? When did this phrase show up? And all of a sudden the whole verse has complete and utter new meaning. Well, I had one of those moments. As I told you all last week, that in January 2020, I started reading Scripture, and this is when God started dealing with me. It's interesting that he put a pandemic just so that I would slow down and start focusing on what he said. I believe the pandemic was just for me. Well, let's build what my aha moment was. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and tend it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for on the day that you eat from it, you will certainly die. Okay, so we have God saying, this is my wisdom, this is my information for you about living in the garden. Eat wherever you like, whatever you like, just don't touch the tree. It's probably best that you don't even look at the tree. Stay away from the tree. Well, when we have peace in a place, there's almost always going to be a challenge. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any animal of the field which the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, has he really said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die, for God knows on that day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took some of the fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Okay? So the reality here is that God had given instructions to Adam and Eve, this is how you're to treat this tree, don't treat it at all, stay away from it. Then the serpent comes in, deceives Adam and Eve. Eve was doing the talking, but Adam was right there. So all of this, that woman deceived this stuff, that's out the window, right here and now, period. Adam could have said, wait a minute, stop. God said, he just stood there. Okay? Now let's go back to this. My aha moment was that the tree was desirable to make one wise. I was overwhelmed when I saw that, because I've always been concerned about them eating the fruit and then original sin getting cast out of the garden, and all of a sudden they probably drove a yugo. It's probably not a good idea. But the reality here is very simple. There was something else going on. That revelation that Eve had came from a lying serpent who lied about the wisdom of God. It's very, very interesting. It actually proposed and put in play two contrasting views of wisdom. First, we have God's wisdom. He spoke it out and said, this is it. Then he had the revelation from, or then Eve had the revelation from the serpent that actually found its birth in sin. Sin is missing the mark. It's not being in relationship with God. So we can very easily put it in three different ways. It's human wisdom, earthly wisdom, or sinful wisdom. And from this sinful wisdom, Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. They committed the first sin. They turned their backs on God's wisdom. And they ended up, well, being cast out of the garden and being the authors of our sin. But we have these two points of interesting contrast. We have when God speaks, he speaks his wisdom, the truth that it should be something we hold on to. And then we have earthly wisdom, human wisdom, or sinful wisdom. Now, one of the things that I've discovered in, almost 40 years of ministry. No, it's over 40 years of ministry now. Is that a lot of times people will choose their own wisdom other than God's wisdom. I don't know if you've noticed people who have made so many bad choices that they put themselves in such dire straits that possible relationship just with another human being is very, very difficult. Whether we're talking about drugs and alcohol, whether we're talking about destroying families through all kinds of inappropriate behavior and relationship, could even be we're going to break the law. There was one individual who came to me one time while I was here, and that individual said, well, my girlfriend has placed a restraining order against me. And he said, I know that if I go and talk with her, we could just work it all out. And I told him, don't do it. Don't do it. And we went back and forth for a while. 15 minutes after we stopped talking, he was off. And to be honest, I haven't seen him since. It's over a decade ago. When we choose our wisdom over God's wisdom, we run the risk of destroying something. We need to understand that God's love comes through his wisdom. And when we abide in his wisdom, when we hold on to his wisdom, great things happen on our behalf. How are we doing? There we go. I decided I wasn't going to preach an hour this week. All right. Now, the way this unfolds, we see all kinds of different highlights, high points in Genesis, and we're going to hit a couple of those here. The next one is, let's go to Genesis 4, verse 1. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have obtained a male child with the help of the Lord. And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a cultivator of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. Abel on his part also brought an offering from the firstborn of his flock and from the fat portions. And the Lord had regarded Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his face was gloomy. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face gloomy? If you do well, will your face not be cheerful? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Now, when I first started reading this in 2020, there was something that just bothered me about verse 7, that first phrase. If you do well, will your face not be cheerful? And so I went to the Hebrew, and I translated that whole verse. And it turns out that there are certain words that have been put in place by context, but they're not relevant to the verse. Now, if you take a look at the latter part of Genesis chapter 3, it says that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening. They had a relationship. They talked. There was nothing there where God was noted as saying that, we can't talk because eventually somebody's going to write scripture and we need to make sure that everything we say is written down. There wasn't any of that. It was just a casual conversation, a casual walking with God. And as I translated this verse, I felt like what was saying is, if you do what is pleasing, won't I honor you? If you do what is pleasing, it's not a works-oriented thing, it's a relationship thing. It's almost as if, in the same way that God gave Adam and Eve his wisdom for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God told the family, this is how you're supposed to live. If you do what is pleasing, won't I honor you? And we begin to see that through other parts of Scripture as well. When we do what God wants, He blesses us. And it's not a works righteousness thing. It's a father his son or his daughter. Have you ever felt like a beloved son or daughter from God? Okay, a whole lot of blank stares. One, there. Okay, everybody looked at Judy and Ivan. They're the ones who are beloved sons and daughters. Honestly, seek the Lord. Let Him love on you. I was talking with a pastor one time, and he had several people in his congregation that just felt unloved. And he told me the thing that changed things in their lives was them realizing that them not feeling the love of God was something in them. God is always wanting to love us. His love is there. Remember Ephesians chapter 3, I want to say it's around verse 16, 17, maybe 19. It's in that ballpark somewhere. It says that we would know the height and breadth and width and depth of the love that God has for us. And this is an experiential love. We need to experience that love. We need to seek God and ask Him to love us. He will love us. We need to put all the things that are hindering us from moving deeper into His love and into a relationship. We need to move these things out of the way. God wants for each one of us to have a clear path. It's amazing what happens when we fall to our knees and we start repenting. Now, I thought the call to worship this morning was very appropriate. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. And a lot of times those paths are straight into His heart. Okay. Now, I thought this was really interesting when I was reading in that January 2020. I noticed that there were two passages, a chapter apart, that demonstrated something very interesting. First is Genesis 11, starting with verse 1. Now, all the earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." And they used bricks for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is to heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the earth." Now the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the men had built. And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they have started to do. And now nothing will they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore it was named Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad in the face of all the earth. The verse that I want to focus on is verse 4. And they said, Come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let's make a name for ourselves. Is that God's wisdom or is that human wisdom? Say it louder, y'all. There we go. Now, at the beginning of verse 12, or the beginning of chapter 12, there's a couple verses there, a few verses there that I want to highlight as well. Now, this is just one chapter later, after God said no to the Babelites, the Babblers, to their plans. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, Go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be blessed. You shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all families of the earth will be blessed. Now, you see, God is not opposed to having us have a name, having a name of honor, having a positive reputation. But he wants to do it his way. If we do what is pleasing, won't he honor us? The people in Babel said, Let's make a name for ourselves. God said, No, scattered them around the earth, confused their language. Then Abraham, Let me make a name for you. Let me turn you into a blessing. And I hope everyone realizes that blessing is still happening today. Amen? All right. So we have this seeking of God's wisdom. We have this thing that we should be doing in our prayer time, where we seek God, we ask a question, we listen for his answers. We want to know how to get through a situation. We want to see healings. We want to see God helping those of our friends and family that are in the hospital. We want to see him help restore relationships or remove the conflict between people. We want to see peace, which is a blessing of God's love. We want to see these people transformed into people who are a blessing to other people because Jesus is in their hearts and obviously living. Now, a long time ago, I was coaching, or Glenn and I were coaching our eldest son, James, and our middle son, Jonathan, in Little League. And Glenn and I had talked about this before we were shanghaied into becoming coaches of this Little League team. And what we decided to do was we were not going to argue and fight on a Little League field. We were going to let the umpire be right, even if he or she is wrong. We're not going to cause conflict with other coaches and managers, but we were going to play by the rules, we're going to do everything fair, and we were going to be friendly. And so Glenn and I, we had all these little 7 and 8 year olds just completely out of control. It was a lot of fun. And we started off a mediocre team, but Glenn and I, we kept working with these kids, and by the end of the season, we placed second place out of all the teams. And there were a lot of times that other coaches were wanting to yell and scream and argue and get all their frustration out on whatever opposing coach there was. And Glenn and I, we decided we're just not going to be part of that. The following year, our son Jonathan was drafted onto a fairly decent team with a good manager. And I was just sitting in the stands as that coach and the team were tearing down the outfield fence. It was one of those vinyl number things with the posts in the ground. And they were tearing it all down, and the coach said, "Joel, can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I noticed that you and your wife, you guys don't argue on the ball field. That's unusual." "Okay. Why? Why have you chosen not to argue? Why have you chosen not to fight?" And I said, "Because Glenn and I are Christians. We believe that God wants us to be at peace with everybody as much as we possibly can." It turns out that that particular coach had had some challenges in his life, and he needed somebody to reach in and care. But he wanted to make sure it was somebody who wasn't going to condemn him. It was somebody who was going to bring the love of God. Without me knowing it, just listening, which is really all I did, and pray, God used me as a blessing for this man. A couple years later, his kids started attending the Richmond Church, where I'm an associate now. And his eldest son came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It was really, really exciting. And on Easter morning, we had a baptism. And so this guy that I had been, this coach, he invited the entire family, because this was an amazing, amazing thing, that his son had come to Jesus Christ. This coach's parents had been really evangelistic in their businesses and in their lives and in their neighborhoods. And so they definitely wanted to see their eldest grandson get baptized. And so this Easter morning, we had our service, and this eldest son went up and he was baptized. And his younger sister and younger brother and a cousin that was almost a splitting image of his sister, they came up and they watched. What is he doing? Why is he going under the water? What is that about? After that service, most of the church, most of the people in the sanctuary went downstairs for an Easter brunch. But the coach's father took that entire family into one of our Sunday school classrooms. And he shared the gospel with that one daughter in particular, who wanted to know why her brother was going underwater. She came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's amazing what happens when we let God use us. When we let His love shine through us, when we become a blessing. When we live by His wisdom, the things that He's calling us to do. The last passage of Scripture that I want us to look at is something very, very interesting. Now, this answered my conflict that I had with God said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." This is Genesis chapter 22. We're going to start at verse 1. "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham." Let me read that again. "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham?' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.' So Abraham got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he split wood for the burnt offering, and set out and went to a place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance, and then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there, and we will worship and return to you.' Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them walked together. Then they came to a place of which Abraham had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood. and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham reached out with his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. And an angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not reach out your hand against the boy, and do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering in a place of his son. And Abraham named the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, the thing that I wanted to emphasize here is the angel speaking, "For now I know that you fear God." Go back to the verse 1. It said, God tested Abraham. We go back and we take a look at Adam and Eve, and we see God's wisdom versus earthly wisdom, human wisdom, sinful wisdom. Now we have God basically saying, "Now I know you fear God by what you were willing to do. The fact that you were willing to obey me, the fact that you were willing to keep my commands." This becomes the real tension through our Christian lives. It's been throughout all of Scripture, and now it should be for us. What is the wisdom of God? What is He speaking to you right now? What are the challenges that you're facing, and how does God want to resolve them? The wisdom, God's. The other wisdom, that will go directly against what God wants. So as we pray, we need to be asking questions. We need to be seeking God. God, I'm in this bad situation. How am I ever going to get out of this? And God, He will speak to us and guide us. He may take us through a tough time. Anybody been through a tough time lately? You know, it's amazing how our suffering oftentimes is seen as a real challenge. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to hurt. But the reality, Paul tells us that we're to rejoice in our sufferings because our sufferings produce endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. That's the other side of the suffering. Think about an oyster with a piece of sand and all the pressure that oyster puts that grain of sand under to produce what? A pearl, something of value. So think about what God is doing with each one of us and the suffering that we're going through. He doesn't want to be mean to us, but He's letting these challenges happen to us. First of all, I think, to see what side we're on. Are we on the side of God's wisdom, or are we on the side of earthly, human, sinful wisdom? And then on the other side, He wants to grow us into a unique character. Some of us are already unique. But the reality here is God is preparing us and growing us for something so substantial that we can be a blessing to other people.
That we would be receptive to the wisdom that you're sharing with us. Teach us to hear your voice. Teach us to be obedient to the things that you say. In all things, Father, grow in us a new and unique way of worshiping you, that we might bless you in all the things you're taking us through and all that you're creating us to be. In all these things, Lord, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. That's the bread and the juice stuff, right? All right. Are the ushers going to come and distribute the elements? Okay. Well, let's say a few things first, and then we'll pray, and then we'll do the thing. one of the most beautiful gifts that God gave us was Jesus Christ, his one and only begotten Son, that he should come and live a sinless life, but for our sins. He was crucified. He died. But on the third day, he was resurrected. And it shows the victory that we have when we claim his sacrifice, the victory we have over death. Another way of looking at this is through that sacrifice, we have a doorway to intimacy with God. When Jesus died on the cross, it says in Matthew somewhere, verse chapter 25 roughly, that the tapestry separating the holy from holies from the rest of the tabernacle, it was rent in two. Jesus is the doorway to relationship with God. As Jesus was around the table at the Last Supper with his disciples, he wanted that to be understood. He wanted us all to understand that we can freely and easily approach God, and that we will experience his love, his blessing. And it's all through an amazing act of sacrificial love, Jesus' crucifixion. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that you just be with us as we take these elements. Father, we pray your blessing on them. Father, we pray right now that you just touch us, our hearts and our minds, that we may understand more deeply the things that you did and Jesus' death on the cross. And all these things, Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. As often as you take this, do this in memory of me." Let's take it. Then he took the cup and said, "This is my blood." His blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. "As often as you do this in remembrance of me," he said. Let's take this together.
Right, we're going to close with, there's something about that, this name or that name. Stand. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Once again, it was great to be with you all this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this worship service, this time when we can express how much we love you and how wonderful you are. Father, we thank you for the things that Jesus did on the cross. We're thankful for the things you're doing in our hearts now. So, Father, I just pray your blessing on all of us as we leave this place. Be with us this week. Keep working in our hearts and our minds. Grow us up to be the children you desire us to be. So God, be with us this week until they all can come back together to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.